Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthShare.org.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening. 404-726-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We got to mention the Braves here. Ronnie's hit two homers. Riley is homered. Murphy is homered. Michael Harris is homered. They've hit five homers in less than two innings. They've got one out in the bottom of the second, and they've already homered five times in this game. Five. Five times in an inning and a third. That's stupid. That's crazy. Anyway, 6-1 Braves. This night, look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So, interesting piece on Desmond Ridder in Pro Football Focus. They say Desmond Ridder's 2022 season, the good, the bad, and the Atlanta Falcons outlook for 2023. They say a look back at 2022 after a shaky couple of starts to his NFL career, Ridder turned it around to close out the season, earning a 76.7 grade over his last two contests. The promising signs, one of the Cincinnati products calling cards coming out of college was his smarts. He played with great anticipation and always seemed to know what the defense was throwing at him. Areas of improvement, it wasn't all roses for Ridder in his rookie season as he struggled to get comfortable in the first two games, which showed with some of his decisions. He tended to make the easy plays hard. So, again, they kind of go through and do a profile about Desmond Ridder and looking back on him and looking ahead. It's worth a few minutes to go on Pro Football Focus and read the article because they do break down some of the different film things and this, that, and the other, and they show show some of the highlights and things like that from what his starts were and all this kind of stuff. So, again, look, Desmond Ridder is obviously one of the X factors on this team. They say the outlook for 2023, the Falcons have built an entertaining and talented offense. Their top two pass catchers, Kyle Pitts and Drake London, are former top 10 picks who have already graded at above 80 at the NFL level. In the backfield, they have Tyler Algier, Texas' Bijan Robinson, blah, 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 blah. Then there's the offensive line. All of that talent is why the Falcons can make some noise in a weak NFC South. But that doesn't happen without a consistent Desmond Ridder. As with most teams in the NFL, the quarterback play separates the effective offenses from the talented ones. He's shown he can process at a high level, and he knows how to work within the pocket to give himself better throwing lanes. It all comes down to how consistently accurate he can be. An accurate Desmond Ridder makes the Falcons' offense a very dangerous outfit. Well, no doubt about it. I mean, but I don't think he's got to be great. You know, I think it's a situation where if he can be pretty good, then we can still win a bunch of ball games. But I don't necessarily think that he's got to be great for the Falcons to have a good season. And it's all relative, right? I mean, if Desmond Ridder comes out and plays like the MVP of the league, now we're talking about a Super Bowl team, right? I mean, now we're not talking about winning the division. He comes out and is playing like the MVP of the league. Now we're talking potential Super Bowl, right? Now, I don't know that he's going to be that, but I'm just saying that that's, again, where this thing could end up going. Nobody saw Matt Ryan being an MVP of the league, and all of a sudden we were in the Super Bowl. People were kind of getting tired of Matt Ryan even in 2016 at that point. But anyway, so we'll see. You know, I think he's got to be pretty good. I think he can be a glorified game manager in some ways because we're still going to run the football. And again, every time I read one of these puff pieces about, the Falcons need to add a wide receiver. Well, that's a lazy take. That's the lazy take because they don't have an established number two. The Falcons have plenty of people who can catch the football. Like, the Falcons aren't hurting for guys to catch the football. Pitts, London, Jonnu Smith, Scotty Miller, Bijan, Algier. Like, they have guys that can catch the football. What they don't have is a fire breather off the head. But anyway, I'm sorry. Is that getting back to our conversation? So, but interesting piece on him. You can read it at PFF.com. Do we have our clip? Let me play that again. What's his name? Josh Kendall clip. Josh Kendall on with Dukes and Bell earlier today. Let's see what he had to say about sacking the quarterback.
The more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are. And this is a team that's just lived without that defensively for a very long time. They've got to get that number up if they're going to impact the game defensively.
Really? Wow. Who's been saying that for the last four freaking years? Who's given you all the numbers for the last four freaking years?
The sacks are overrated.
You guys wonder why we don't win. Seriously. Like, you guys wonder why have the Falcons not been the play in a league where everybody in the NFL turns it around from worst to first? The Jacksonville Jaguars go from Urban Meyer and that whole debacle, and they win their division last year. And you guys wonder why we can't figure it out. The Cowboys were 6-10 in Micah Parsons' first year as a rookie. You know what they've been the last 2 years? 24-10. You think he hasn't made an impact on that freaking team? That guy was so good, he was going to get Dan Quinn a head coaching job. That's how good he is. That's how good an impact defensive player can make your football team. Day-Day, has Dak Prescott been there the last handful of years?
He has, yes.
Was Zeke Elliott part of that team the last few years?
Yeah, he has. Oh. Yeah. They've had a few notable wide receivers, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's the one guy they added in 2020 that all of a sudden comes into the league like he's Lawrence Taylor and destroys everybody?
Yeah, that would be Parsons.
Oh. But they're just accidentally. It's not coincidental. I mean, they're just randomly 24-10 the last couple of years. Not because of anything Parsons has done. Not because it's all because of Dak and Zeke Elliott and all those guys. It's all because of them. See me rubbing my hands in my head? I get so frustrated when I talk to people And they can't wrap their arms around why. We don't have enough wide receivers. We don't have enough running backs. We don't have enough safeties. We don't have enough cornerbacks. We just don't have enough of those kinds of. We don't have enough guys that stand 10 yards from the line of scrimmage and don't impact a play. Meanwhile, Dallas 24-10, you know, last 2 years with Micah Parsons running wild. Meanwhile, the San Francisco 49ers, 5 of the last 10 NFC title games, 3 different quarterbacks, 2 different head coaches. I wonder why. Why do you think that is? Why have they been to 5 of the last 10 NFC conference title games with a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and they've had 3 different quarterbacks and 2 different head coaches? Why have they been able to do that? What's the one thing that's always remained consistent about the 49ers franchise?
The defensive side of the ball.
And their offensive side. They're the best line of scrimmage organization in the NFL. They are the best line of scrimmage organization in the NFL. They have a dominant offensive and defensive front. Who's the best left tackle in football? Trent Williams. Where does he play? Oh, San Francisco. Oh. In all honesty, there are times, Day-Day, when I want to take my phone and just throw it at that glass partition where you're at. Not because of anything you've done or anything like that, because it's just so frustrating that people don't understand some of these things as to why we don't win. Why, if you add the right person at the right spot, it can make all the difference in the world. It can make all the difference in the world. And it makes everything about your franchise and your team better. Better. Penny Hart talking about coming back to Atlanta and playing for the Falcons. Our friend of the show, Tory McElhaney, had a good little piece on this, talking about how being here, it meant everything. And he talks about the idea of, look, they've got a needed punt returner with Avery Williams out for the year. If Cordarrelle Patterson's not going to return punts out there, this could be an opening for Penny Hart to win a job like this. He says, quote, "This organization showed me how much they appreciated my game from over the years and watching me, seeing how hard everybody works here. That's my identity, and that's what I do. So just knowing that I have the opportunity to be a part of this culture, it meant everything to me. I couldn't resist that." Talking about Arthur Smith, "I knew that he was a blue-collar kind of guy to where he likes to work. He likes the attitude of going out and making something of yourself and having to earn the respect of everybody around you. I really respected that in him when I first got here and when I was talking to him." He says he sees that in himself too. Quote, "I would much rather go out and earn my respect and put in hard work to do what I have to do to help myself get better, help my teammates get better." So he says, I like that it's really fast-paced. It's about getting in and grinding, talking about the offseason workouts. I think it's an extremely versatile offense as well. You can be in at any position at any given time, and I think we do a really good job of doing that. It's exciting because that's what I love best. I say all the time that I'm most comfortable when I am uncomfortable. I work in the uncomfort of being in different positions, having to know a lot of different things, having to know what the quarterback might know, just being able to help my team wherever they may need from me. If that is the case, to just be anywhere and everywhere. So I appreciate that a lot in this offense. Day-Day, play that Josh Kendall clip one more time.
"The more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are. And this is a team that's just lived without that defensively for a very long time. They've got to get that number up if they're going to impact the game."
Can you play this clip again, Day-Day?
"The more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are."
Okay, stop.
He's rubbing his head.
Yeah, I rub my head and my hands and just
Well, I just didn't, you know, the pregnant pause.
I thought we were on
Twitch.
Don't they have the Stitch?
No, we're not.
Oh.
Once they turn those lights off, that's it.
Oh, okay. So the Fletch is only for Dukes and Bell.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So they're on Fletch or whatever, you know, it is. So can you sense my frustration about things?
Yep, I can.
Can you sense that? Why have I beaten this into the ground so much?
Yes.
Why am I constantly on this?
Yes, I definitely can. Yeah, I understand.
Can we go down and get some booze? What's that, the proletariat or whatever?
What is it called? Politan Row.
You know, the politicians or whatever. Can we go down and get some booze from the politicians down here at Colony Square and all that kind of stuff? I know they have little bars set up right outside of that area.
You know, the ice cream place actually puts a little
something in their stuff too. Yes, I did see that. So, well, Mike Bell and I have done cocktails there in that, I don't know, what do you call it, the courtyard area?
I'm not sure what they call the courtyard area, but I know that indoor part is called Politan Row.
Well, that's all the restaurants and kind of like a food court.
Yeah.
But we've done like drinks and him and I are just sitting outside by that Bally Sports, you know, by the Bally Sports entrance over there and all that good stuff. Anyway, makes me want to start drinking booze heavily and just get blasted. Maybe blasted on radio. Anyway. All right, Jonathan Williams, when we come back, we're going to talk some dogs football with him. He's a writer for Dog Daily, part of the Fansided Network. What he has to say about this Georgia Bulldog team, Chuck Renekia Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com, code FIT.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios with you on this Tuesday evening. Braves still rolling right along, 6-1. They've homered five times in this game already. Crazy. And we're only in the bottom of the third inning. So we'll keep you up to date along about what goes on with the Atlanta Braves as they look to take a game two against the Minnesota Twins and try to win this series here. We are not very far away from college football season cranking back up, and obviously the Georgia Bulldogs, the talk of the college football nation, as they look to three-peat. I can't believe I'm saying that about the Georgia Bulldogs, but they look to three-peat as far as three national championships go. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to Jonathan Williams. He's a writer for Dog Daily. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Dr_JWill. Jonathan, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for a few minutes here on the show with me.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I appreciate you having me on the show.
What does the idea of Dylan Raiola going to school now in Buford mean? And, you know, obviously, you know, it's getting him closer to the university. But what does it ultimately mean in the grand scheme of things?
Well, I think first and foremost, I mean, it's the fact that he's going to be closer to Athens, and that's a good thing. He's going to be playing in the highest level classification of Georgia high school football. So that's great. You get the good competition in there for him. And not only that, but I think what all Georgia fans are going to love about this move is the fact that there's a bunch of Georgia targets on Buford's roster. You know, they already got one commit of Jaden Perlott. He's a 2025 linebacker. And then also they also have some other names on that roster as well that Georgia's kind of targeting, after the biggest one being KJ Bolden, the safety. Georgia fans would love to have him on the roster. So maybe having someone like Dylan Raiola on the roster, a five-star quarterback, kind of being in his ear all the time, that'd be great for them. And then also some other names, being able to recruit those guys in and just helping out Georgia staff. Like, you're next to some of the best talent in the state, so why not help out your future team?
Forgive me if I don't remember star ratings and different things like that, but is he the highest – rated quarterback prospect in Georgia history?
Justin Fields, I believe, was higher than him, but okay. He's the second highest recruit in program history.
Yeah, I mean, and it's crazy to think about, you know, again, we think of, you know, that I don't want to say it's been the missing piece for Georgia, but, and they've recruited really well at quarterback, but, you know, it has been guys like Jake Fromm, who was a good recruit coming out of high school, but, you know, not the dynamic player. This feels like, with Dylan Raiola, like this is a truly dynamic player that is coming into this program. And, you know, again, for all the accolades that we've given Georgia, you know, now if you add that even more dynamic playmaker to this offense, I can't even imagine what this offense could look like in a couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the offense has definitely continued to elevate over the past few years, especially with Todd Monken being offensive coordinator. Now you're making the switch to Mike Bobo. But you've continued to add depth at wide receiver thanks to Brian McClendon doing the job that he is on the recruiting trail. The tight ends are ridiculous. You're just reeling those in every single year. And so with how good the offensive line is as well, and now you're getting potentially that final piece of this pinnacle five-star quarterback that everybody's already saying is bound to be a first-round draft pick. Potentially that is just kind of what brings all of this together. It's like, it just continues to be Georgia bringing in the riches. They're the richer get rich.
Jonathan Williams joining me on the WadeFord.com hotline, writer for Dog Daily. And, you know, I really do think that, Jonathan, that this is going to be, and I don't want to say a breakout season, but I think we get Brock Bowers unleashed. Like, I this being his last year on campus, going to be a first-round pick, this feels like it's setting up to be Brock Bowers, maybe, and I dare I say, maybe in that Heisman conversation when all is said and done.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, you get one more year of him, so why not capitalize off of that one last season right, that you get of Brock Bowers? So, absolutely, I could see it. And I mean, when you have a guy like Brock Bowers, you can just do so much with him as well. And this is what makes Brock Bowers so talented, is the fact that it's not just him running post routes over the middle of the field. It's the fact that they're giving this guy handoffs in the back end of the backfield, and then also in the screen game. He just does it all for you. So you have so much – he's so versatile that you can do so many different things, and he's not one-dimensional. And so you can really utilize him in so many different ways of the offense. So, yeah, I mean, a Heisman season could be on the horizon for Brock Bowers.
Who's a freshman on defense that you think can come in and potentially make an impact for this team?
One that originally came off to my mind right now is, you know, A.J. Harris, a cornerback for Georgia. I know that that room is really clouded. There's a lot of guys in that room. There's a lot of depth there. But that's a guy that, I mean, later on in the season, you might get him some early playing time as well. There's, I mean, heck, you never know with Georgia. They rotate a lot of times. And also, if you're going to be the best player, that's who they're going to play. And A.J. Harris just had something different about him. Then maybe late in the year, maybe in November, later in the season, you start seeing a little bit of A.J. Harris on court coming out onto the field for Georgia. So, but there's also just, you know, they bring in so many different guys. They do so many different things. I also think Jordan Hall, defensive lineman, I went out and saw him in San Antonio earlier in the year, and my goodness, that guy loves playing football. He's got a great motor, very joyous young man. So I think he's also someone that could help out that defensive line, especially after losing someone like Jalen Carter.
Georgia is clearly going to be the number one team preseason in the country. Their schedule is obviously very favorable. I mean, as in favorable to where they're not going to lose a game during the regular season. You know, the SEC title game aside, they're going to go 12-0 and head to the SEC title game. But if there is a flaw in Georgia as a team this year, is there anything that you look at and say that could be a problem for the University of Georgia?
I'd say one, speaking from the offensive side, if I had to pick one right now, maybe that running back depth. You know, Kendall Milton, he's a great running back, and when he's 100% healthy, I think he is one of the best running backs in the SEC. But there's also some history with injuries there. You do have Dejon Edwards, and I think they kind of started to find out who Branson Robinson was last year, but I think it's pretty telling that when they bring back a guy like Savon Clark, and then they also go and get a transfer from the University of Tennessee, another running back, that they're continuing to add depth to that room. I think that might be something, you know, trying to figure out that run game. But then also on top of that, you have Mike Bobo, and Georgia has always had success running the football, especially with Mike Bobo. So that might not even be a flaw. And then maybe on the defensive side, like I said, that defensive line, kind of figuring things out interior-wise. But I think this is your Stackhouse, a senior leader in that team and on that unit. I think he's going to hold it all together. But those would be two things that you can maybe point out.
You think that Carson Beck is ready to take over as a full-time starter to run this offense?
I think he absolutely is, and I think he really showed that during the spring game. He showed poise. He showed like someone that was commanding the field. He had command of the offense, and people trusted him. They looked to him. And then also just he looked like a mature quarterback, like he should be at this point in his career, you know, progressing through his reads, and he looked very comfortable in the offense. So I think he's absolutely ready, and he himself has said that he is 100% ready to lead this offense.
You know, Jonathan, it has been a – Not just because Georgia is finally winning at the level, but again, when Kirby Smart took over this program, Georgia wasn't a bad organization, but you know, there was this hangover with the Mark Richt era, and you know, things were not trending in the right direction. What do you think has been the number one thing as to why it has been so drastic under Kirby Smart in such a short period of time? I mean, well, I know recruiting probably is first and foremost, but Georgia's always had good players. It's not like Georgia hasn't. I mean, again, I can go through the entire history of the program. They've always had good players. But what do you think is the thing about Kirby Smart that has transformed this program into pretty good to the best program in America right now?
I think it all goes back to the culture that he has instilled in Athens. And I say that from a roster standpoint, but also from a coaching staff standpoint. You know, like you said, Georgia's going to recruit at a national level, and they're going to get guys like Dylan Raiola all the way out west, and guys like Peyton Woodyard who are out west as well. They're going to get people from all over the United States, but they also get guys within the state of Georgia, guys that have grown up loving Georgia, guys that love football. And so you get a balance there of that roster, and I think that kind of helps out as well because you kind of get a balance of everything. And it's important to have guys that not only buy into what you're preaching and buy into your coaching, but also buy into the culture and love where they are at. And I think he's done the same thing with his coaching staff. You know, you have national names like Glenn Schumann, Fran Brown, and then also you had Todd Monken for a couple of years. But then on top of that, he's brought in guys like Brian McClendon, Stacey Searles, Mike Bobo, Will Muschamp. Those are all Georgia guys, guys that have a long lineage of loving the Dogs. And it's a consistent across the board for them on both the roster and the coaching staff. So he's just instilled longevity on both of those sides. So I really think it has to do with just what he has been able to do from a culture standpoint, from getting his players to pay attention to the small details and make really just getting everybody to buy in at once. Because it seems like they're all maniacs, you know, but at the same, it just has to goes to show you how good of a head coach Kirby Smart is and how good of a manager he is.
Jonathan Williams from DogDaily.com joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Is there any part of this schedule that you look at that could be a hiccup? I mean, I just, again, every time we talk about these kinds of things, Georgia just steamrolls over everybody. You know, well, it's going to be South Carolina. And then Georgia goes out 49-0. I mean, it just, every time we think about a stumbling block, this team just plows right through. Is there anything that you see on the schedule before the SEC championship game that gives you kind of pause to say, okay, that could be a trap game or that could be a potential loss if Georgia doesn't handle their business well? I mean, it really does feel like we're at the point where Georgia literally has to go out and beat themselves rather than somebody can beat them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one game, and I think almost anybody would give you this answer, is Tennessee. You know, having to travel up to Tennessee, and especially with a guy that is going to be a first-year starting quarterback, more than likely Carson Beck, that would be the game that everybody has circled on their calendar, especially with what Tennessee does offensively. You know, they can score points quickly and in bunches. But Georgia has also handled that offense extremely well defensively. And the good news about that Tennessee game is that it's so late in the season. And so you know your identity at that point. You're well within the season. You're kind of in your groove. You know your identity. Guys have kind of figured out their groove into the year. And especially because you get to start the season with, like, Ball State, UT Martin, and then your first true SEC game as well as at home against South Carolina. So I would say Tennessee, but even then, like, Georgia is going to have all the kinks worked out by then. So they'll be the best of they'll be the best version of themselves by then anyways.
Last question for you. What do you make of the SEC schedule for 2024? I mean, it obviously amps up for Georgia. Trips to Tuscaloosa, Austin, Texas. I mean, you know, look, we knew we were going to get these games. And certainly when you're at Georgia's level, it's not going to be just Vanderbilt and South Carolina and Kentucky and teams like that. They're going to play the best of the best because those are the marquee matchups. What do you think about the SEC schedule release that we saw here for 2024?
Well, I think the biggest thing that changes for Georgia is you're no longer binded to the SEC East. Like you said, you're no longer playing Vanderbilt every single year. And even every single SEC East team outside of Georgia has not been consistently good. Like, Florida's had their ups and downs. Tennessee is just now back up on the rise. And everybody else has just kind of been in the middle of the pack. South Carolina had some years where they were pretty decent as well and really good. But now you're no longer binded to that. You no longer get that guarantee of playing those Eastern Division teams every single year. So you are making trips now out to Austin, Texas. And you are going to have to travel to Alabama. And it's just, and we'll see what happens the year after that. But it's going to be a fun schedule. I think Georgia fans have been itching for good games during the regular season, so they're finally going to get them. But it's going to be interesting to see how that team handles it and just how every single team in the SEC handles the flip of schedules. But I think everybody's got that. They'll still get Florida on the schedule. You'll still get those name stays as well. But I think it does provide some changes. It's going to be interesting to see how teams adapt.
Well, it's going to be an interesting season. I think Georgia's going to plow their way through everybody again this coming season. Jonathan Williams, he's a writer for DogDaily.com. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Dr_JWill. And he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Jonathan, appreciate the time tonight. Thanks, buddy, for a few minutes, and we will chat again here soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
You got it. When we come back, it will be time for What's Bugging Chuckery. Might be time to panic. We'll talk about that next. Chuckery in the Key Studios. Sports Radio After the Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at the Key Studios Tuesday night with you. Oh, rank 'em coming up at 10:40. So get your list in, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. You can, that's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can leave us a list there, at JMCH316 on my Twitter machine, and he's at the D. Lewis for real. So hit us up with your rank them list. I did have somebody on my Twitter page that had a rank them that came in early yesterday, I believe is what it was. So we'll get to that coming up at 10:40. Braves right now, just, you know, they've kind of settled into a groove here. After they hit five homers in the first two innings, Murphy is homered, Riley is homered, Ronnie's hit two homers, Michael Harris has homered. By the way, Michael Harris is red freaking hot right now. He's been outstanding with the bat. He's got his average up to 263 with a 316 on base percentage. Plenty of time for him to get back to where we think that he could be. One for two with a home run, a run scored, and an RBI, and you know, up to 263. Bottom of the lineup again, two for six with a run and an RBI for this team. Riley's two for two with a couple of RBI. Ronnie's two for two with a couple of runs and RBI, and obviously the two homers. He's going to be a 2020 player by the time we're at the All-Star break. He's going to be 2020. And I think he's going 40-40. He's got 19 homers, and we're in game, what is this, 79? This is game 79. So you're a couple of games away from being at the actual halfway point of the season. He's the MVP of the league. It's all come together. Day-Day, I got to get over to this guy's card shop in Roswell and have that Ronald Acuña Jr.
Oh yeah, the one you were telling me about the other week. Yeah.
I got to have that card, that Heritage Minor League Topps baseball card that's autographed in red by Ronald Acuña. That could be a vacation or two if all goes well.
That could be retirement if all goes well. Well, you should be retiring soon anyway. But
well, I'll be dead. I mean, listen, here's what my retirement. Do you know I actually have bought my retirement home?
Oh, like, nice. Yeah. Okay.
So
nice.
It's a pine box. It's about 6 foot long, about 4 foot wide. It's made of good solid wood. I got the 10-penny nails to go along with it. So that's my retirement.
Stop it, man. Stop it.
Yeah, that's listen, I'm never going to be able to retire. I've come to that conclusion that I will never be able to retire. And I'm sure by the time I get to be whatever, 60 something years old, there will be no such thing as Social Security at some point, you know. So again, but anyway, listen, the old saying is you never saw a U-Haul behind a hearse, right?
Yeah.
You know, and what do they also say? It's better to burn out than fade away. So
I can't with you today.
Yeah. We won't play that Josh Kendall clip until the top of the hour anyway. But no. But right now Braves are rolling right along. Twins have scored in this inning. So Bryce Elder right now, 3 2/3, 4 hits, couple of runs. He's got 4 walks on the night with a couple of strikeouts. So he's kind of laboring around. I mean, he may not get through 5 innings because, again, he's at 80 pitches right now, and he's kind of out there laboring. He's got 2 men on right now, and all of a sudden he can make this. Well, he struck out whoever it was. Who was that he just struck out? Carlos Correa. So, again, he got out of it, but he's through 4 innings, 4 hits, 4 walks, couple of runs. And he's at 81 pitches right now. So he's kind of laboring along trying to get through this start, but so far so good. The Braves offense has just cranked it up and gotten this thing going. So, you know, after the last couple of innings, you know, let's see if the Braves can put on a few more runs and put this game out of reach and, you know, maybe allow Elder to just kind of settle down and, you know, have a pretty easy time of all of this. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep up to date all night long about what goes on with the Atlanta Braves. First, though, let's get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, it could have been Josh Kendall's comments and stuff, but anyway. So the Mutts, as it stands right now, are 16 games back of the Atlanta Braves. And we're not even through the halfway point of the Major League Baseball season. They are 16 games back. They've played 78 games. I didn't see if they Yeah, they're up 4-0 right now. So the best they can do is hold serve. So they're almost to the halfway point, and they're 16 games back. And Scherzer and Verlander have been very mediocre. They combined for $86 million in payroll. All of the big contracts that they gave all these guys, the Lindors and guys like that, it's all just, it's all for naught. Here's what the general manager, though, of the New York Mets had to say, Billy Epler. Quote, "We've got a decent amount of runway before the deadline. We hope that we can change the story. If we can, then we can add. If it doesn't, then we'll just have to create other opportunities and see what exists out there. I will be doing a press conference tomorrow before the game." Mets owner Steve Cohen tweeted out that he's going to hold a press conference before Wednesday night's game. "I'll be doing a press conference tomorrow before the game. You will get it from me straight." Have we seen that press conference? Because I'm going to be following up on this. I'm definitely going to be following up on this press conference to see what Steve Cohen had to say about all of it. He said, in talking about how the Mets are have seen declines in their lineup, Jeff McNeil, the reigning batting champion, is hitting .257, starting Marte, Mark Cagna. I mean, they've all taken steps back. But he said the team needs to be better. "I constructed the roster. We put this team together. A large part of it we put together last year. But ultimately, this is the club we have right now, and I expect them to be able to do more." And obviously, Buck Showalter has had his rash of critics over the last couple few weeks here. So, again, Mets GM Billy Epler not panicking and saying that he supports Buck Showalter. Can I tell you, it's time to panic. Like, it's time to panic, and it doesn't have to be the Titanic running into the iceberg. Oh, yeah, all's good. And then whammo, the Titanic hits the iceberg, and that's all she wrote. And then it's hasta lasagna, don't get any on ya. Can I tell you, I think Billy Epler is, how do we say, dead man walking? I don't think that you can spend this kind of money and be this bad and have the manager be this dysfunctional and all of the things that surround this team. And I know Steve Cohen signed off on all of it, giving out big contracts to guys and trying to roll the dice and win. But this feels like general manager Billy Epler is dead man walking for the New York Mets. And I could not be happier than them to fail as miserably as the Mets have done. It warms the cockles of my heart. It not only warms the cockles, it warms the subcockles of my heart. That the Mets are so bad. Day-Day, have I ever told you that I hate the Mets?
Why, yes, you have.
Have I?
Yep.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure because I wasn't sure if I talked to you about this or not, but I loathe the Mets. I loathe them as an organization. I loathe them as human beings. I wouldn't invite a Mets player to my daughter's birthday if he paid me a year's salary. That's how much I hate the Mets. So, look, nothing makes me happier than to see the Braves up by 16 games. And we're not even halfway. You think that the Mets are going to go on the kind of run that the Braves went on last year, huh? You think that the Mets are going to put together a string of victories that are going to get them right back into this divisional race? If you do think that, I've got beachfront property in Iowa that I want to sell you. White sandy beaches, the backing up to the ocean in the state of Iowa, because the Mets are not going to do anything in this division. Again, I'll say it again, and I'll be hot take Tommy, hot take. What's the guy's name? Sal Lipskitz?
Licato.
So Rosado, Sal Rosado, the NL East is over. It's over. The gutless, pablum-puking, weak-minded New York mutts are a disgrace to baseball, and it couldn't happen to a better organization. To have all of that payroll and have all of those failed performances, all those different things that are just failing for the New York mutts, it warms the exocenter subcockles of my cockles to see the mutts be as bad as what they are. And that's what's bugging Chuck Reed. Braves still up 6-2 in this game, and obviously they looking to take this series again from the Minnesota Twins. Mets are up 5-0 right now, so you know at least they won't fall a game further behind in all of this. So they're up 5-0. The Phillies are up 2-0 on the Cubs. And I didn't see who if the Marlins played tonight or not. Yes, Marlins are up 6-1 on the not so good Boston Red Sox. They're 40-39, but they've not been a very good team this year. So give the Marlins credit. I mean, if there's anybody going to get credit for the Marlins, they deserve it. I mean, 45-34. Almost at the All-Star break, almost halfway through the season. I mean, worst case, they're on pace to be a 90-win team. Who saw that coming out of the Miami Marlins? Who saw that? Nobody saw that coming out of the Marlins franchise. The fact that they could be a potential 90-win team, nobody saw that out of those guys. So kudos to them. And, you know, obviously they've gotten rid of Don Mattingly now, right? So they've got new management in place, but – give them a lot of credit for how good that they've been. Skip Schumacher, former Major League Baseball player, right? One of those light hitting middle infielders, but Schumacher's done a nice job. And by the way, too, you know, the crazy part is they haven't gotten the kind of year out of Alcantara that they've wanted. He's 2-6 with a 5.08 ERA. 2-6 with a 5.08 ERA after he was the unanimous winner of the Cy Young last year. He's pitched 95 innings, and he has given up in 95 2/3 innings, 8 homers on the season. He only gave up 16 homers in 228 2/3 innings last year. He's going to blow past that pace, but he has not been very effective this year. And he's been a 200-strikeout pitcher the last 2 years. He's only got 78 strikeouts here as we're midway through the season. So it's not been good for Alcantara, the unanimous Cy Young winner last year, but again, that's a them problem in all of it. So, but they've done a really nice job of, you know, again, being able to be in second place in this division because they've capitalized on the fact that what every other team hasn't been able to do. And obviously, part of that has been catching the Atlanta Braves, but part of that is being a potential playoff team. Mutts and Phillies right now, I don't think, are anywhere in that mix, even with the expanded playoffs. So, good for the Marlins. If anybody would finish second, I would hope it would be the Marlins first and foremost. All right, when we get back from the top of the hour, more to come. Chuck Pinnakia Studios, Sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Tuesday night with you. Oh, Rankem coming up at 10:40. So get your list in, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. You can, that's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can leave us a list there, at JMCH316 on my Twitter machine, and he's at the D. Lewis for real. So hit us up with your Rankem list. I did have somebody on my Twitter page that had a Rankem that came in early yesterday, I believe is what it was. So we'll get to that coming up at 10:40. Braves right now, just, you know, they've kind of settled into a groove here. After they hit five homers in the first two innings, Murphy is homered, Riley is homered, Ronnie's hit two homers, Michael Harris has homered. By the way, Michael Harris is red freaking hot right now. He's been outstanding with the bat. He's got his average up to .263 with a .316 on base percentage. Plenty of time for him to get back to where we think that he could be. 1-for-2 with a home run, a run scored, and an RBI, and you know, up to .263. Bottom of the lineup again, 2-for-6 with a run and an RBI for this team. Riley's 2-for-2 with a couple of RBI. Ronnie's 2-for-2 with a couple of runs and RBI, and obviously the two homers. He's going to be a 2020 player by the time we're at the All-Star break. He's going to be 2020. And I think he's going 40-40. He's got 19 homers, and we're in game, what is this, 79? This is game 79. So you're a couple of games away from being at the actual halfway point of the season. He's the MVP of the league. It's all come together. Day-Day, I gotta get over to this guy's card shop in Roswell and have that Ronald Acuna Jr.
Oh yeah, the one you were telling me about the other week. Yeah.
I gotta have that card. That Heritage Minor League Topps baseball card that's autographed in red by Ronald Acuna. That could be a vacation or two if all goes well.
That could be retirement if all goes well. Well, you should be retiring soon anyway. But
well, I'll be dead. I mean, listen, here's what my retirement. Do you know I actually have bought my retirement home?
Oh, like, nice. Yeah. Okay.
So it's a pine box. It's about 6 foot long,
about
4 foot wide. It's made of good solid wood. I got the 10-penny nails to go along with it. So that's my retirement.
Stop it, man. Stop it.
Yeah, that's Listen, I'm never going to be able to retire. I've come to that conclusion that I will never be able to retire. And I'm sure by the time I get to be whatever, 60-something years old, there will be no such thing as Social Security at some point, you know. So, again, but anyway, listen, the old saying is you never saw a U-Haul behind a hearse, right?
Yeah.
You know, and what do they also say? It's better to burn out than fade away. So.
I can't with you today.
Yeah. Play, we won't play that Josh Kendall clip until the top of the hour anyway. But, no, but right now Braves are rolling right along. Twins have scored in this inning. So Bryce Elder right now, 3 2/3, 4 hits, couple of runs. He's got 4 walks on the night with a couple of strikeouts. So he's kind of laboring around. I mean, he may not get through 5 innings because, again, he's at 80 pitches right now. And he's kind of out there laboring. He's got 2 men on right now, and all of a sudden he can make this. Well, he struck out whoever it was. Who was that he just struck out? Carlos Correa. So again, he got out of it, but he's through 4 innings, 4 hits, 4 walks, couple of runs, and he's at 81 pitches right now. So he's kind of laboring along trying to get through this start, but so far so good. The Braves' offense is just cranked it up and gotten this thing going. So, you know, after the last couple of innings, you know, let's see if the Braves can put on a few more runs and put this game out of reach and, you know, maybe allow Elder to just kind of settle down and, you know, have a pretty easy time of all of this. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you up to date all night long about what goes on with the Atlanta Braves. First, though, let's get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Buggin' Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, it could have been Josh Kendall's comments and stuff, but anyway. So the Mutts, as it stands right now, are 16 games back of the Atlanta Braves. And we're not even through the halfway point of the Major League Baseball season. They are 16 games back. They've played 78 games. They're up 4-0 right now. So the best they can do is hold serve. So they're almost to the halfway point, and they're 16 games back. And Scherzer and Verlander have been very mediocre. They combined for $86 million in payroll. All of the big contracts that they gave all these guys, the Lindors and guys like that, it's all for naught. Here's what the general manager, though, of the New York Mutts had to say, Billy Epler, quote, "We've got a decent amount of runway before the deadline. We hope that we can change the story. If we can, then we can add. If it doesn't, then we'll just have to create other opportunities and see what exists out there. I will be doing a press conference tomorrow before the game." Mets owner Steve Cohen tweeted out that he's going to hold a press conference before Wednesday night's game. "I'll be doing a press conference tomorrow before the game. You will get it from me straight." Have we seen that press conference? Because I'm going to be following up on this. I'm definitely going to be following up on this press conference to see what Steve Cohen had to say about all of it. He said, in talking about how the Mets have seen declines in their lineup, Jeff McNeil, the reigning batting champion, is hitting .257, starting Marte, Mark Cagna. I mean, they've all taken steps back. But he said the team needs to be better. "I constructed the roster. We put this team together. A large part of it we put together last year. But ultimately, this is the club we have right now, and I expect them to be able to do more." And obviously, Buck Showalter has had his rash of critics over the last couple few weeks here. So, again, Mets GM Billy Epler not panicking and saying that he supports Buck Showalter. Can I tell you, it's time to panic. Like, it's time to panic, and it doesn't have to be the Titanic running into the iceberg. Oh, yeah, all's good. All's good. And then whammo, The Titanic hits the iceberg, and that's all she wrote. And then it's hasta lasagna, don't get any on ya. Can I tell you, I think Billy Epler is, how do we say, dead man walking? I don't think that you can spend this kind of money and be this bad and have the manager be this dysfunctional and all of the things that surround this team. And I know Steve Cohen signed off on all of it, giving out big contracts to guys and trying to roll the dice and win. But this feels like general manager Billy Epler is dead man walking for the New York Mets. And I could not be happier than them for to fail as miserably as the Mets have done. It warms the cockles of my heart. It not only warms the cockles, it warms the subcockles of my heart. That the Mets are so bad. Day-Day, have I ever told you that I hate the Mets?
Why, yes, you have.
Have I?
Yep.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure because I wasn't sure if I'd talk to you about this or not, but I loathe the Mets. I loathe them as an organization. I loathe them as human beings. I wouldn't invite a Mets player to my daughter's birthday if he paid me a year's salary. That's how much I hate the Mets. So, look, nothing makes me happier than to see the Braves up by 16 games and we're not even halfway. You think that the Mets are going to go on the kind of run that the Braves went on last year, huh? You think that the Mets are going to put together a string of victories that are going to get them right back into this divisional race? If you do think that, I've got beachfront property in Iowa that I want to sell you. White sandy beaches, the backing up to the ocean in the state of Iowa. Because the Mets are not going to do anything in this division. Again, I'll say it again, and I'll be hot take Tommy, hot take. What's the guy's name? Sal Lipskitz?
Licato.
So, Rosado. Sal Rosado. The NL East is over. It's over. The gutless, pablum-puking, weak-minded New York Mets are a disgrace to baseball. And it couldn't happen to a better organization. To have all of that payroll and have all of those failed performances, all those different things that are just failing for the New York Mets, it warms the exocenter subcockles of my cockles to see the Mets be as bad as what they are. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. Braves still up 6-2 in this game, and obviously they looking to take this series again from the Minnesota Twins. Mets are up 5-0 right now, so you know at least they won't fall a game further behind in all of this. So they're up 5-0. The Phillies are up 2-0 on the Cubs, and I didn't see if the Marlins played tonight or not. Yes. Marlins are up 6-1 on the not so good Boston Red Sox. They're 40-39, but they've not been a very good team this year. So give the Marlins credit. I mean, if there's anybody going to get credit for the Marlins, they deserve it. I mean, 45-34, almost at the All-Star break, almost halfway through the season. I mean, worst case, they're on pace to be a 90-win team. Who saw that coming out of the Miami Marlins? Who saw that? Nobody saw that coming out of the Marlins franchise. The fact that they could be a potential 90-win team, nobody saw that out of those guys. So kudos to them. And, you know, obviously they've gotten rid of Don Mattingly now, right? So they've got new management in place. But give them a lot of credit for how good that they've been. Who's the manager for the who's the manager for the Skip Schumacher? Skip Schumacher, I should say. Former Major League Baseball player, right? one of those light-hitting middle infielders. But Schumacher's done a nice job. And by the way, too, you know, the crazy part is they haven't gotten the kind of year out of Alcantara that they've wanted. He's 2-6 with a 5.08 ERA. 2-6 with a 5.08 ERA after he was the unanimous winner of the Cy Young last year. He's pitched 95 innings, and he's given up in he has given up in 95 and two-thirds innings, 8 homers on the season. He only gave up 16 homers in 228 and two-thirds innings last year. He's going to blow past that pace, but he has not been very effective this year. And he's been a 200-strikeout pitcher the last 2 years. He's only got 78 strikeouts here as we're midway through the season. So it's not been good for Alcantara, the unanimous Cy Young winner last year. But, again, that's a them problem in all of it. So, but they've done a really nice job of, you know, again, being able to be in second place in this division because they've capitalized on the fact that what every other team hasn't been able to do. And, obviously, part of that has been catching the Atlanta Braves, but – part of that is being a potential playoff team. Mets and Phillies right now, I don't think, are anywhere in that mix, even with the expanded playoffs. So good for the Marlins. If anybody would finish second, I would hope it would be the Marlins first and foremost. All right, when we get back from the top of the hour, more to come. Chuck Minicchia Studios, Sports Radio Network to the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.